This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got the top 10 with Wooly Bully coming up in just a second. But in case you missed it, 76er star Paul George out for the rest of the season with groin and knee injuries. And then Pete DeBoer said that there is at least a pretty decent shot that the Stars will be without Miro Heiskanen for their first round playoff series, which could presumptively be against the Avalanche. And a quick reminder, we got Zach Wilczek from the G-Bag Nation on Friday. They will be at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers in Euless. It was a hell of a party last time. You add in some college basketball and it's going to get even better. Now.
Damn right.
There you go. Now, you want to do some top 10?
Let's do it. All right, so I had asked the fellas, I had a list of three different top 10 lists. They chose this one. 877-881-1053.
You sad we chose this one?
No, not at all. Because the other ones, I'll use at some other point. It's all good. They'll get used. Top 10 most aesthetically pleasing baseball stadiums. And I am saying that, right? Aesthetically?
Yes, you are.
I think I said ass. Aesthetically, the first
Globe
time.
Globe Life Field.
Yeah, is Globe Life Field one of your top 10? Because I have not gotten to go to many ballparks. Of course, the Rangers ballparks, I've been to all of them. The Angels we went to when we went out to Oxnard for Cowboys training camp a couple years ago, so I've seen Angel Stadium. I've walked around PNC Park in Pittsburgh when I went to the Cowboys game against the Steelers this past year, and it is gorgeous. I mean, overall, that entire downtown area in Pittsburgh, when you come out of the tunnel, it is stunning. Like, if you've ever seen the movie Perks of Being a Wallflower, and they're listening to the song and they go out,
we can be heroes.
It is a beautiful view that honestly you even have to see to believe. Like, when you see it with your own eyes, anything else doesn't really quite do it justice.
So the one that I know is usually high up in the mix that I have not been to is Oracle Park in San Francisco. I know we'll get to the ratings in just a second. I've not been to that one. I've heard great things about it. I love the look of PNC Park. I think that might be number one for me.
It's absolutely gorgeous. And I didn't even get to see a game there, and I'd probably put it at number one. You know, it's super cool.
Yeah.
So this is from CBS Sports. They went ahead and ranked this leading up to opening day. Of course, we've already got Dodgers and Cubs that have started the season in the Tokyo series, which is bizarre, but that's the case.
Game two tomorrow at 5 a.m.
Honorable mentions. We've got Petco Park with the Padres, which was, I was stunned that this didn't make even the top five. Like, I've heard a lot of people advocate that Petco Park's the best in San Diego.
I'm curious. Go through the rest of the honorable mention, because there's one on the list that I went to that I thought was really awesome that I don't feel like gets talked about a bunch.
T-Mobile Park, where the Mariners play.
Okay.
Target Field, where the Twins play.
That one. So we went to Target Field, just its location, right kind of in the middle of downtown. And then the other thing that I think is really cool about it is you don't walk in at the bottom of the ballpark. So like where it's placed and where you walk in, you're already kind of higher up on another level. And so like it feels neat because you walk into the kind of the middle of the ballpark mm-hmm. and they have that walkway. Like obviously you still go through the ticket scanner and everything like that, but they have this giant walkway that just kind of leads you right into the ballpark. I thought that ballpark was awesome.
And then the Great American Ballpark where the Reds play.
I've not been there.
I know Tim Callens, TC, would probably advocate for that one. Number 10. It's a little bum that this was in the 10. Minute Maid Park. The Juice Box. And didn't it get renamed? It's no longer Minute Maid Park.
I believe that, or did it go back to that because their corporate sponsors failed? The thing I'm going to remember the most about this ballpark, and that's why I can't put it up on the list, is when we were at the Super Bowl in Houston and I saw a bunch of men wearing white clothes.
Are you sure they were men?
I will never make that assumption again. It's a good point. People,
we grow and we learn and we don't judge.
Who have a penis.
Yeah. All right.
And they had, that is relevant to the story, Carter. Don't look at me like that.
I can't believe you said that.
They had blood spatter all over their like white jumpsuits.
You really are just fixated with
that.
They
were the Organization of Men Against Circumcisions.
Oh.
And so I went to go interview them for the show because I thought for sure that they were doing a bit. And I was like, hey, this could be some fun content on the air. Started interviewing them. Did you know that 84% of, and they had all of these facts and figures that made me realize this probably wouldn't be fun to broadcast on air. But secondly, that they definitely were not joking. And they were like saying it's bad if you get your baby circumcised because your baby didn't have a choice. And it's this whole thing. And they were not joking around.
That sounds like the not joking around crew.
So that's what I'll always remember about Minute Maid, because I had that interaction right outside of Minute Maid Park, and now it's impossible for me to think about that ballpark without thinking about the blood-spattered people.
That's
follow that.
How do I segue this? Okay.
Well, went to the Angels ballpark.
So, well, guess what, Jack?
Yeah. Well, the write-up for the Juice Box, otherwise known as the non-circumcised ballpark, there will be.
That's funny. That's funny though. There you said that.
There will be a few people who lament the removal of Towels Hill and the in-play flagpole in center field, but I still really enjoy the look over left field with the Crawford boxes and the train over the top of the station. That brick out there in left center field is really nice as well. I don't know what you said, but I don't want to read this anymore, and I think that this entire write-up has been something I should have avoided.
I'm sorry, this feels like my fault. I'm sorry, Wolf.
This is not good. I don't like this. I am feeling so vulnerable and uncomfortable, and I hate the Astros.
Okay.
So just so everyone knows, I didn't write that. Number 9 is Angel Stadium in Anaheim, which was a beautiful ballpark. It's pretty cool.
Did you guys go to Dodger Stadium?
No, and I want to go to Dodger Stadium.
Okay. I will go to Dodger Stadium with you.
Let's do it.
Because several years ago, there was a plan in place. We had tickets and everything. Oh, they were cheap tickets. I don't want to drive all the way out there. And we just didn't go.
That's what it always is. We don't want to drive out there.
I'll go.
Okay, let's do it. Because I know like Eric's probably not going to want to because of the drive, because it hurts his back. Brian probably would be down to go. But I'm down. Let's do this. Dodger Stadium, let's make it happen. I know Bobby went when we had left. He went on a date with the girl he was trying to set me up with. This is back in the single days. This is like 3 years ago.
Ooh.
Yeah. Bobby, the great wingman that he is. It wasn't a date. It was just a friend's thing. Mm. Number 8 is Coors Field in Colorado. The Colorado Rockies?
That's the one that I think Corey would put really high up on this list. He's told me about the opportunity to go there. We were going to go there as part of a, like, me and Jess were going to go there and then go to Red Rocks. It's going to be like a whole, you know, weekend of fun. And that was in the midst of the COVID times when everything got canceled.
7 is Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Which does look incredible. Amazing. It really does. Like when the Rangers were playing there in the playoffs, that place was rocking.
Was that the template for the new ballpark that you saw? And you're like, it's new, but it still looks old and classy.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like, does that make sense?
Like, this is actually gorgeous.
Yes.
And there, it really is. Like, to me, that's one of the bucket list ballparks that I'd love to go and experience. 6 is Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. And Eric Nadel told us this last year. He's like, it is one of the older ballparks, but it's beautiful when you're there. It still has the feel of just the Kauffman Stadium seats behind home plate, the gigantic video board, the Royals crown on top. Certainly is one of the most monstrous in all of Major League Baseball. Like, the feel when you're there,
interesting.
It's a gorgeous park.
Okay. I have to admit, I've not been to that one either. I'm willing to bet I've been to most of the top ones except for San Francisco.
Okay. Number five is Dodger Stadium.
Okay.
So we know we're having
we're
a bro
check
day.
That off.
We're going to make that happen.
Absolutely.
Number four is PNC Park.
PNC Park would be my number one. I'm going to guess two super historic ballparks are also going to be at the top of this list. But just aesthetics, I would put PNC at number one.
Number three is Fenway Park.
Now, we should have asked for the audio to get pulled of Peyton describing what he thinks his experience in Boston is going to be like. But Fenway Park is awesome. And I had the best experience ever when I went with Brandon to that. Because they had this little table set up inside and they were like, have you been to Fenway before? Nope. They gave Brandon this little pin that said, like, my first game at Fenway. And I thought it was super cool.
Well, Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's awesome.
That ballpark is shockingly small.
Really?
Like, it really is. And if you look at it, they have the green monster.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's huge.
No, things go up. So they don't go out as much there. They go up. And so it is shocking how small that ballpark is. Like, I know they have the regular dimensions of a baseball field. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, the way the fans are staggered and everything. That ballpark feels like one of the smallest Major League ballparks I've ever been to.
Like, the location of it, is it kind of in the middle of nowhere?
It is not in the middle of nowhere. It is in the middle of a neighborhood and restaurant extravaganza.
Okay.
So,
right, because they've built, like, a special street and
exactly.
everything for it. Okay.
It feels like you could stumble out of that ballpark to your apartment, like, a couple roads down.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm guessing, I don't want to mess up your list, I'm going to guess another historic ballpark is there. One of the things that makes these ballparks outside of the history is where they're located. Because when we walked out, it was a gigantic Insta-party. Once you stepped right out of the ballpark, once the game was over. It was a party before, it was a party afterwards because the Red Sox won. And that's something that works hugely in their advantage.
Which I do love the whole Texas Live setup that we've done
for
in Arlington.
Sure.
I think it's awesome, especially during the World Series run. Like, you're all super pumped. Like, after game three in the ALDS, they go ahead, Evaldi gets the standing ovation, they sweep the
yep.
O's.
Yep.
We want to keep the party going. Boom, we can walk right outside Texas Live. Let's do this.
There you go.
Game one of the World Series. Don't want to talk about it,
and
actually.
Eventually, we'll have a casino there.
Eventually, one day. 877-881-1053, your favorite ballpark. Did they list Petco yet? No, Petco was honorable mention for 972. They did not make the top 10. I was shocked, too. We talked about that earlier. 903 Coors Field is boring.
See, I haven't been there. The background looks incredible when you see it on TV.
469 said Fenway is a dump.
Okay, keep that in mind as you finish out your list.
Okay. You might have a dumpy one?
I might have a thought about that.
Okay. And then 805, Fenway's capacity is like 26,000. I really enjoyed Fenway. So some diverse
great.
Opinions.
I don't know if it's changed over the years, but they also used to have a really limited amount of things you could get there. Like, you could buy like 8 things there. They
had
like hot dogs, peanuts, nachos, soda, beer.
And that's it.
It was not that expanded outside
okay.
of that, which
hey.
Is kind of cool. It's a throwback.
Yeah, we're sticking to the central things
yes,
here,
exactly.
that are good, that we know are awesome. The Dodger dogs are off the meat rack from the 214.
Okay.
Dodger Stadium is super overrated from the 817.
But I still feel like you need to go there, right? I that's what I think. I still want to go.
And then the 817 said, no BS, I had an adult circumcision. It was wild.
That sounds terrible.
That sounds painful.
hopefully there weren't a whole bunch of people crowded around you watching.
Like a trough deal, which they talked about this morning, and I agree. We really, really need to get the troughs out of here. That thing, like, I'm not trying to make eye contact while I'm urinating. And the other thing was from Zach in Frisco. He said, you guys talk about the strangest things. And you're right, and that's why I love Arch Station. You never really know what we're going to get to. It's going to be sports that's mixed fair. In with the most random stuff imaginable.
That's fair.
That's what we do here. That's why you turn it on, leave it on, hashtag Tolo. And that's why you're coming out on Friday, because you're going to be able to see us in person, cold beers and cheeseburgers. And yes, Lucius Alexander will be in attendance for the G-Bag Nation 2-7. Get there and be ready to enjoy all the March Madness. All right, here's your top two, Kevin. Number two is Oracle Park in San Francisco.
Yep.
And number one, Wrigley Field.
All right. I figured Wrigley would be high up in the mix. So when the people said that Fenway was a dump, and I know they've made changes to Wrigley Field. I've been to Wrigley Field a whole bunch, and they've tried to fix some stuff up. The walking patterns are so confusing there. There are some places where you go up steps just to go back down steps to get to your seat, and you're like, couldn't I have just walked straight? But no, you can't, because there's this big lump of concrete there. There are parts of Wrigley Field that kind of look like a dump. But you get to your seat, you're overlooking everything. It's magical. It really is. And this is another thing, just like Fenway, that it is a party. Wrigleyville, right outside, before and after, it is a party. You can find some amazing food at their food trucks if you want to start drinking. No problem. So I think the atmosphere and the history really helped those two, like, kind of move away from the field of a lot of these ballparks.
I mean, Wrigley and Fenway are definitely two bucket lists for me. And Brian does not like Wrigley Field. He was talking down on it a little bit.
I'm telling you.
So I mean, you're not alone in what you're saying.
If you're not here for the romanticism of baseball and sitting in that seat and looking out over the ivy, or if you're in the outfield, you know, being with the bleacher bums and everything, I can see how you would be like, this is not the nicest ballpark.
I'm here for the nostalgia.
For sure. Then you'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. Same thing with Fenway. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I'm really excited about this segment. A former Rangers pitcher drops one of the best Tommy John surgery breakdowns you'll hear. Plus, is this other former Ranger already on the hot seat? Next on The Fan.
And Jonah standing in on the left side. Hauk comes home, and this pitch is hit high and deep down the right field line. If it's fair, it's out of here. It is gone. Jonah Heim lifts one down the line. It's Heim time here in Arlington, and we're tied at three.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, we're going to talk some great baseball right here, but real quick, if you heard Alec Medford, he had the tiniest of trip-ups on that read right there.
It's your fault.
Alec says it's my fault. Would you care to expand about why it's my fault?
I wish you guys could all experience the level of stupidity that happens during the commercial breaks in these studios, because Kevin was playing on his phone through the microphone into my ear a kazoo representation of the national anthem, and they were... Carter Freeman in the back behind me is saluting. Kevin has his hand over his
heart.
And
we both stood up.
They're both standing up and saluting a kazoo.
It was a hell of a kazoo.
It was. And the best part of it all, it was close, but we made it through the entire anthem before we came back.
You cut it real close.
It was
really close.
I really wasn't sure if we were going to make it.
I hated everything about that.
There's a lot of things to go over here. We're going to get to Kyle Gibson. He gave a great breakdown of not necessarily why you get Tommy John surgery, but why it is so frequent and people striving for that. But I wanted to throw a couple of things out real quick. Let's start with this. Evan Grant, yesterday, rosters Rangers projection 3.0. Some of these are, you know... Yeah, I think that's all kind of what we've thought along the way. And so catcher is like that. I think infield is like that with Berger, Simeon, Seager, Young, Peterson, and Josh Smith, Higgy, and Heim at catcher. But outfield, Wyatt Langford, Leo Taveras, Adolis Garcia, Evan Carter, and Kevin Pillar. I'm not saying that that's surprising, because ever since Pillar has been there, it's kind of felt like that's the way they're going. But... Well, Chuck, what do you think about this? Under crazy thought, And I feel like he's been listening to the show. Thanks, Evan. Might the rise of Alejandro Osuna allow the Rangers more latitude to consider dealing Tavares for controllable and less expensive pitching? Because one of the things we've talked about, and I know yesterday only is like, hey, look, you might not need to worry about your closer just quite yet. But there will come a time where you will. But the Rangers are strapped in terms of they can't spend more than $6 million to stay underneath the threshold that they want to. Would this allow Osuna to be on the roster as one of your backup outfielders and then maybe move Leody, who you can definitely get something for, and maybe that something is cheap relief pitching that won't put you over the threshold?
I was working with the assumption that this would be their move the entire offseason. Yeah, like it would be Leody is the surplus guy. You're going to move him. Now, I wonder how they feel about Evan Carter and what's going on there.
Question.
But Kevin Pillar is also a guy that they added to the fold that they seem to like quite a bit. So I think they're stacked right now when it comes to the outfield. And if you're able to get a solid pitcher, yeah, I just kind of assumed like the closer role, that might be something where you trade Leody Tavares and you get a guy that you think could fill that for you.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned Evan Carter because Evan Grant said it might sound crazy, but the idea of Evan Carter not making the opening day roster seemed like it had picked up some steam.
Oof.
But he had a good day in the backfield, so hopefully it won't come to that. But we've talked about quite a bit. His struggles against left-handed pitching have been mighty. For the starting rotation, obviously you've changed some things up, but this is what we went over yesterday. Eovaldi, Leiter, Malley, Rocker, and DeGrom.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads then the bullpen, which I think for probably most every team is the most fascinating aspect of all of this. Chris Martin, Sean Armstrong, Jacob Webb, Robert Garcia, Hobie Milner, who he has had a tough spring training.
Hobie's our guy.
Adrian Hauser, Garabito, and Luke Jackson. Luke Jackson's y'all's guy,
too,
right?
We love Luke Jackson, too.
Man, that's the guy that Jock Peterson was like, you guys have to talk to.
Luke Jackson is very, maybe an alien. I wouldn't put it past him.
And that leaves out Dane Dunning. And I love talking to Dane Dunning. I think he's gotten really good shape. I think he will make a contribution to the team this year, but maybe he doesn't break camp on the roster.
It's so weird, this trajectory that Dane Dunning's on now.
It is.
2 years ago, you win the World Series. Wasn't he your MVP pitcher of the season?
Yes.
It was like whatever role we needed Dane Dunning to fill. Hey, we need you back in the starting rotation.
He's a Swiss Army pitcher.
Yeah, DeGrom got hurt. We need you in the bullpen as a long reliever. Go ahead and do it. And now it's Dane Dunning's in danger of not making the team. I mean, this is just insane.
Yeah, and he still has minor league options, which unfortunately sometimes can be a curse because you're like, well, we can just stash you there and not worry about losing you. All right, now let's go to a former Texas Ranger. We might start and stop parts of this, but it is incredibly insightful. This is Kyle Gibson talking about the proliferation of Tommy John surgery. There's one specific thing he's going to say in here, though, that I think is going to be the reason why people are always looking for faster, faster, faster.
Rodon basically said, it's inevitable. Whether you're 35 or 15, when it's your time, it's your time. You're a guy that went through it in 2011. Do you think that statement is true?
Yeah, I don't know what percentage of pitchers have to get Tommy John overall in the game to reach that inevitable point. But I mean, I think we're there. You know, if it's 80 to 85% of overhand throwers in our game that are going to get Tommy John, I'd say that's pretty inevitable. I think there's a lot that goes into it. I think, you know, we're all chasing, you know, that extra mile an hour in velocity. We're all chasing the extra RPMs and spin. Even back to my time in Minnesota in 2019, the talk was every mile an hour on your fastball is basically like 0.3 off of your ERA. Now, you ask anybody if they can take 0.3 off of their ERA, they're going to say, yes, some guy's goal is to throw every pitch as hard as they can because of the visual approach to home plate that it creates.
0.3 off your ERA for every mile per hour higher you can get. So if you can get that extra mile per hour, just think about it. For some people, you're talking about the difference between I'm going to go work at the bank or I'm going to be in Major League Baseball or obviously maybe minor league as well. And then for some people, if you can get one or two, you might be talking about the difference between, and that's a good pitcher, and that's a $30+ million per year pitcher. So I had never thought about the breakdown like that. Kyle Gibson is an excellent person to talk baseball with. So when you hear that, do you kind of think like maybe the risk is worth the reward?
Yeah, I think that's why you've seen so many people do this. Like, it used to be, oh my gosh, we've got a bullpen arm that can throw 100 miles an hour. Now everybody in your bullpen's throwing 100 miles an hour. It's crazy. So it makes a ton of sense as to why now it's, how much harder can I throw? I do think there's something about the art of location and how can I command the baseball. And I think that's what sets apart guys like Cody Bradford, who don't throw that hard, but yet have been effective pitchers. And I think that's what stood out to me when listening to Jacob deGrom and how I can throw 97 and can I get the same success throwing 97 versus throwing 100 miles an hour and how much less taxing that's going to be on my body. And the reason why he can have success throwing his curve or slider, whatever it is, in 97 versus triple digits is the location and being able to command the ball to go where he wants it to go.
So I think about, I'm sorry if I get this quote messed up just a little bit. Necessity is the mother of invention. And I think that's exactly what pops into my head when you describe that. It's not to say that DeGrom is not a master of movement and location as well. But say he misses that pitch or whatever, you could be fine. Whereas Cody Bradford, it's out of here.
Sure.
You know, that's what...
And hey, John Gray's had that problem.
That's true. And to be honest, like we've joked about it with Mike Bassick and Derek Holland when we would have them on. Not to say that Derek threw nothing but 100 miles per hour, but clearly he could get away with a mistake because of the velocity that he trotted out easier than Mike could.
Mm-hmm.
So when you add that and think, all right, if I can pick up 2 miles per hour, which is kind of the average velocity pickup for Jack Leiter that we've talked a lot about throughout spring training, that could potentially mean 0.3 per mile per hour off my ERA. If you tell a pitcher going into the season, hey, this will help you drop your ERA by more than half a run, that feels like a no-brainer.
Yes.
And I know the other side of it is it will inherently come along with some potentially raised injury risks. But that's when you heard in that clip, there are a lot of people who think there are pitchers who have had Tommy John and people who haven't had Tommy John yet. You know, and so if you think it's going to be inevitable, maybe it's worth it.
So we talked about with Paul Skeens yesterday, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I threw out, hey, what would you start trying to look at a package to throw Pittsburgh to get Skeens? Because he's already said he's not going to. Well, he hasn't said it.
Yeah.
But he's hinted at, I probably am not re-signing with the Pirates.
Because they don't seem to care about making their team any better.
Right. So, you know, what could a trade package look like? Would it start with, you know, an Evan Carter and a Leiter or a Rock, whatever it might be? And you did make the point of, yeah, but are we just kind of waiting on, we're going to not have Paul Skeens for a year and a half? Because inevitably he's going to have Tommy John.
And it's weird because the thought that went through my head was maybe you wait it out and it happens on the Pirates' dime and then you make that deal. Although that's not to say, I don't want to give this idea that once you have Tommy John surgery, you'll never get hurt again. That's not the case at all. There are a lot of people who think Tommy John surgery has about a 7-year shelf life to it. So that's not to say, I used to think when I was younger that if you ever got it, you would never need it again. And that's why I was like, oh, well, just knock it out whenever and then you'll never need it again. That is not the case whatsoever. So I wonder if teams would be thinking in the back of their mind, let's just wait and see what happens there and see if maybe we can not have to go through any of that.
Yeah.
One more baseball note for you. The season hasn't even started, but CBS Sports, those jerks, they already put out a hot seat list of managers.
Oh.
Number 1, 3, and 4 on the list. Don't worry about it. Who cares? Number 2 on the list, Ron Washington.
Already?
With the Los Angeles Angels. Did you ever feel like taking this job? And I 100% understand why he took the job. But did you ever think that he took that job and it was just to bide time until maybe they got better and they eventually were like, hey, team's not good under you, so we're moving on. Even though it's not his fault, because That team is god awful.
Oh, so bad. And I mean, I think last year you saw them, they were more competitive.
That's
under Wash.
That's true.
But yeah, I think that's unfair to him. It's not his fault right now that this team is struggling.
If you do want to know the rest of the list, I can tell you. John Schneider.
I'm not really interested.
Okay. Then all you need to know.
All right. Give us the Schneider.
John Schneider.
Rob's brother.
With the blue. Man, I'll be curious. I have some questions about that. He is number one on the list, followed by Ron Washington, Marmol over from the St. Louis Cardinals is three, and Bud Black for the Colorado Rockies is four. It sucks because I feel like we're all rooting for Ron Washington, but only to a point, right? Because you don't want the Angels to be good.
Yeah, I don't want them to make the playoffs, but they can be competitive and hopefully beat the Mariners and the Astros a bunch, yeah, and then just lose all the games to the Rangers.
Okay, so they can get up to 500, and then we'll be like, hey, that's about enough from you. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Hernandez chops one to third. Shaw will go to second for one. Throw to first is high, and it allows the Dodgers to take the lead. Otani's in to score on a throwing error, and it's 2-1 Los Angeles.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Higgy, amazing. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Now, I know it'd been easier for the morning show or even our show. Is there any chance that you love baseball so much that you woke up at 5 in the morning to watch the game?
I did not, but I did enjoy the updates from Sean and RJ this morning as it was happening. It was like, oh yeah, that's a nice reminder that I guess today's technically opening day.
So
what a celebration.
We were talking about this yesterday. Can you imagine if this was the Dodgers and the Rangers, and for the first time ever, Sean and RJ got preempted for part of their show? They'd be so excited because they get mad at y'all.
They get mad at
us as if we constructed the baseball schedule.
They do.
But what if their
most
show
toxic?
Yeah. What if their show didn't start till 8:30? Would they be happy then? Or do you think?
Oh, I think they would, at least temporarily. They'd find something quickly within 15
like coming
minutes.
To work.
Here's the easiest one that they would be complaining about. The moment the microphones turn on, wow, that 8 a.m. traffic looks a lot different than 5:30.
Yeah, I could see that.
We barely made it in on time.
We might as well just gotten here at 6 a.m. and done the damn show.
Just bring KNC in early.
But I protest these games, Heggie.
Is that right? Please tell me why.
When you have America's pastime with an international opening day, it ain't right.
Even though both of the starting pitchers were from Japan and the star players from Japan.
It's about us.
Okay.
We're not from Japan.
I was just asking for clarification.
I think it's great for them, you know, and if they wanted to do that on like the second game of the year, I think that'd be appropriate.
Okay.
I mean, maybe at least cater to the American fans by putting it at a time that's not 6 a.m. Another good idea. Yeah. I mean,
how about the Dodger
it's
fans?
It's 4 a.m. for, West Coast. Yeah.
That's an all-nighter.
That is true. Okay.
Just don't go to bed.
But I decided to look this up. It's 3:47 in the morning right now in Tokyo. So what would be a viable time that we would start that game to make it more accessible for Americans?
It would add to the excitement if I knew that they were playing an overnight game.
Okay, so
I think 4 a.m. would be great.
Yeah. Okay, so midnight, 4 a.m., that's when they're firing it up.
Let's go.
Because it's the opener. Everyone would still be fired up.
How about an exhibition game? They can play it whenever they want.
Okay.
Even better. Okay. Double down there. But, you know, I'm half in jest, but half seriously. Like, other countries don't bring their sports here to do their opening day. When do we have English Premier League opening day? When's Japan bringing their teams and their stars?
Okay, so you think we're being too generous with this?
I think we have an opening day deficit, if you will, Heggie.
Okay.
Trying to send some tariffs.
I've never even thought about this before. The idea
to see some tariffs.
Liverpool will start the EPL season this weekend live in Omaha. Like, that would be amazing.
That would be cool,
where it happened. You'd just be like, none of this makes any sense.
Dude, they would run up that Jell-O shot bar.
Ooh, they would,
What was that, Rocco's?
Oh,
is it Rocco's in Omaha?
The College World Series.
College World Series.
They could close it down and retire after that for EPL fans.
The soccer fans would be like, what? Who's your leader right now? LSU? You think you guys can booze? Watch this.
That was some of the best stuff during the World Cup. Like, these bars are running out of beer. They're just, how do you not prepare for this? Do you not know?
It's unbelievable.
We weren't prepared for how much the Scots could drink.
Now, speaking of things that might be unbelievable, do you see any issues with this plan? The Los Angeles Sparks put out on social media, we're looking for male practice players for the 2025 season.
Sure.
Do you have what it takes?
Yeah.
What do you think happened next? They got a bunch of level-headed submissions. They put together a practice team and everything was great. Or do you think something else might have happened?
Hagee sounds like a prime opportunity for some social media sexual harassment.
Indeed, that shooter appears shoot, Hagee. To be the case. But surely there's a difference between shoot or shoot and somebody who said, quote, let Cameron Brink back me down. Like, surely we can find some, damn it. Surely you can find a happy medium between, like, you seem like a nice lady. I would like to get to know more about you. And, yeah, what's up?
Yeah, yeah, it'd be the first time in a practice where they're exchanging phone numbers for non-work reasons.
Yeah.
Trying to take a date out. Yeah, I mean, this would be, that's probably what majority of these dudes signing up. There's probably a couple dudes that are like, this is actually my chance. They've been hanging on for way too long about how good they are at basketball.
My God.
Like,
competitively play.
Let's consider this an open opportunity to show my skills. Mm-hmm.
What is the situation where people hang on way too long thinking they're going to make it? Is it sports or is it your friend's band? Because, man, I feel like I had a bunch of friends who their band, I was like, it's probably like, if you're having fun playing, like, rock on.
Great hobby.
But they're like, no, we're going to make it.
Yeah.
This is going to be my career.
We're the next queen.
My experience, 38. My experience, it's the sports.
Okay.
It's the sports for my experience. Handful of dudes, like, paying money to play sports. Keeping the dream alive. Not just because, oh, this is fun for me. Because I'm hopeful that I'll have a Brian Broaddus scout in the stands and I'm going to get a deal.
Somebody's going to see me.
Yeah.
What is the age with your friend's band where you didn't feel obligated to go anymore? Because I feel like early 20s, I felt obligated to go to my friend's bands when they were playing. And then it was like me and a couple other people. I was like, maybe just do this for fun.
Yeah. Maybe 33, something like that.
Okay, wow. So you gave him some time.
Yeah. I mean, Portland's a very musical town, so there were a lot of friends into music. And from my perspective, it's music because you can actually keep doing that into your 30s.
That's true.
And you're actually getting better, even though it's not good enough to break out.
Is there a venue question, though, that you just won't attend? Like, if you're doing, like, the... like if you're
there at the garage again,
well,
I'm not
the church
going there.
Scene or something like that, are you like you're playing at the church?
Yeah, we got to be at a legit bar or something. You
okay,
know?
That's okay, what I'm saying. Yeah. Are we playing the bar mitzvah?
No alcohol, no deal.
Yeah. No.
The bar mitzvah is gonna have alcohol, so that might be a good one.
I'm just kind of wondering: is there a venue that we just won't go and watch? Is there a place that we just will not do it?
Yeah, my buddy
gymnasium.
BFW. My buddy did an acoustic show at a public pool. You know, they were looking to book some local musical acts.
How was it?
At a public pool.
Yeah, I didn't go, to Brian's point.
Yeah. I think there's some of these that we just will support to a point.
I saw the look on his son's eyes, and I imagine it didn't go great.
Yeah.
Did you have musical dreams and aspirations as a youngster?
Briefly in like fourth, fifth grade when they first start doing music. And I did clarinet. I did saxophone.
Oh, yeah.
Just still get him, Glenn Miller.
Just didn't go well.
You're a woodwind guy. I like it.
Yeah, you know, it looks fun, right? And
yeah.
So you hear it, you fall in love with the music at a young age, and then you try it. And then, you know, some people are really good at it. For other people, everybody just laughs at you, Peggy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you end up playing kazoos for a national anthem.
Yes.
No.
We might have broken Alec Medford in the last commercial break by playing the kazoo national anthem.
What do you have against the kazoo, Alec?
Zach, was it the kazoo? Was it the national anthem or was it the fact that both me and Carter stood to show proper respect to the anthem that you think broke Medford?
He was already upset about the kazoo, but I think it was the standing. I think the standing really pushed it over the edge. And then Carter's screaming, stars, which I admire. I got it on the second one with you.
Anybody kneel?
No kneeling.
No kneeling?
So...
Was it a damn good rendition?
It wasn't.
It really wasn't, which I think made it all the better.
No, it didn't.
This wasn't even like a dialed kazoo player that was like, guys, watch
Jack
this.
Black. No, and it sounded like it was a bunch of them, and they just really couldn't find their harmony or rhythm or anything like that.
But you'd rather have a bad anthem than a pretty good one, right?
Yes, for sure. A pretty good one?
With all due respect. Yeah, yeah. All due respect
I'm
to
with
the song
you.
And everything. Because but I like a bit of a train wreck.
It's going to be way more entertaining. Now, if you have somebody who can belt it out and they'll do a damn fine job, give me that one all day. Yep. But if you're just going to be like, oh, yeah, that's a good job. Now, pass. Yep. Give me the one that forgot the words or they need Doc Rivers to come out and help them. Whatever the case
or
might
Mo
be.
Cheeks.
Yeah. Give me.
Did you see the follow up on the Mo Cheeks story?
Yes, dude. We got the full circle.
So cool.
The web redemption.
What?
Yeah. Really? The young back? Girl is now like a 22-year-old or whatever. And she went out there. Mo Cheeks was alongside her.
That's great.
She nailed it. Hit it out the park.
That's beautiful.
Out. So Hagee wouldn't have liked it.
Where's Mo Cheeks coaching? Is he coaching
someone? I think he's still floating around the Sixers in some way.
Oh,
I think it was at a Sixers game.
Oh, this was at a Sixers game?
Back to assistant up there. He's a legend.
Mo Cheeks.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, currently an assistant coach for New York, by the way.
Oh, there we go. Thanks.
Brendan Haywood from Bet Online is going to join us at 3 o'clock. North Carolina, Mavs championship. So a lot of relevant basketball talking points with Haywood there at 3 o'clock. And, you know, Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking.
Love it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Come back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin.